Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is FMG Live, and I'm your host, John A. Guffey. Thank you to everyone who has been following us on Facebook. Please remember to like our posts as well as enjoy the links to our shows. Thank you also for following us on Twitter at FMG Live, the number 2, and the letter U. I hope everyone is having a great Mother's Day today. If you hadn't had a chance yet, make sure that you call your mother, go by and see her. If she's close enough, make sure that you connect with her today and say hello. And in the spirit of doing that, I want to say a very, very happy Mother's Day to my own mother, Paula Marie Guffey, and tell her how much I love her and how much I appreciate her for being my mom. Actually, she's not my mom. She's my mama. And, you know, sometimes I've called her that, and people have teased me a little bit, and they thought that it was cute that I still call my mother my mama. Well, that's who she is, and that's who she will always be. She can't change that, and neither can I. God put us together in that way, and I am extremely grateful to him for it. I love my mama very much. I love my daddy, too, but he gets another day. Today is Mama's Day, and you know, very seldom do our mothers, in fact, very seldom, if ever, do they get what they should receive on Mother's Day. I know for my mama, there's no amount of jewelry, there's no gift that I can give, there's no number of cars or houses or anything, any material stuff in this world that I could give to her that would be adequate, because she's my mama. And she was there for me when I was little, and I would step on a bee, and she would have to take out the stinger, and it would hurt. But I would always go to mama to have her do it. And I might have screamed. Lord knows, there were times I was such a wuss as a child. If I stepped on a bee and got a stinger, I was crying. You thought someone had cut my foot off. But she was patient. And she'd take the tweezers and gently get it out. And I'd be okay. She would be the one who would take care of me when I was sick. And I would go and, no matter how little sick I was, let me come into the living room and lay down on the couch. She would put a pillow under my head, and she would put the blankets on me and let me watch TV and bring me a drink, and she would take care of me. And when I got older, she would still take care of me. I remember when my papa, or her father, passed away. We had a little sunroom where the laundry area was, and I was sitting in there in the dark, and she came in there, and I was really upset. And I'm a good-sized fella, and here's this big guy with this small, petite woman sitting in his lap, putting her arms around him and telling him it's going to be okay. And that all the bad things that I felt and the guilt that I felt for the things that I hadn't said to my grandfather and the things that I hadn't done, she took that attack from the enemy and deflected it and made it go away. My mother was one of 10, and she was the baby of the group. And over the years, I have seen her dynamic with her brothers and sisters. And, you know, she was not always the leader, but she was right up there at the top and was never afraid and is never afraid to make a decision and when one needs to be decided. And is never afraid to step up and take responsibility for something that needs to happen. I learned that from her. I appreciate that from her. I grew up, you know, and when I got out into the world and into business, I learned that you had to make decisions. And no decision was worse than a bad one. I believe that still. And my mom didn't teach me that intentionally. She showed it by her actions. She showed me by her actions how to love my own children. One of my sons is 17 and he lives here in North Carolina with me and my wife. And sometimes he's a teenager. He can be a handful. And when things get, you know, when he gets testy and pushes the every last button on purpose, I remember how I was and how patient my mama was with me. And so she taught me, without even knowing it, how to love my son. My mama is still with us. I am so grateful and thankful for that. And my mama is very supportive of what I do. When I told her that I had received a call to preach, she said to me that she had never told me this, and this was only a couple of years ago. So I am 43, so, you know, she'd kept the secret for over 40 years. And she said that when she, and remembered it, see, that was the thing that astonished me, was that she remembered it. So it must have really made an impression on her. She said that when she was in the hospital, that she had been told that her son was going to be a preacher. I don't remember why they said that to her, but they did. And I, you know, there's no reason for her to have thought that or to have believed that. But she did, and she remembered it, and whoever told her that was right. What I learned about God, I learned from my mama and my daddy. It was always mama, though, who made sure I went to church. She would come in on those Sunday mornings, no matter how late I had stayed up on Saturday night, which at times could have been extremely late. At times, I could have been going to bed as they were getting up. But she would always come in there and say, it's time to go to church. She'd turn the light on to help me get up, which would irritate me, and do anything and everything that she could do to get me up so that I would come with them to church. She would make the best sausage gravy and biscuits just so I would get up and go to church. I don't deny waiting for the biscuits and gravy to come up before I got up on no few occasions, because it was worth it every time. took me to Bible school. She taught as a Sunday school teacher. She did everything that she could do to make sure that I had the preparation to come into the world, where she knew, as headstrong as I was and am, I was going to go off and do what I wanted to do. And that was not to her liking. It was not what she wanted. But she put those feelings aside. I know that my mom would love to live there in my hometown of Athens, Tennessee, with my family, with her, and near them, not with them, but near them, so that she could see the grandkids every day, and we could spend Sunday afternoons over there and do all the things that she, as a grandmother, wants to do at this time of her life. And that didn't happen. I ended up moving away and moving a little further away, and then about an hour away, and then ended up in New York City for a while. And now I live in North Carolina. So it's not easy to drive over and see them, or for them to drive over and see us. But at the end of the day, she gave up that so that I could be happy. Because for my mama, she always put my needs ahead of her needs, and my wants ahead of her wants. And I know there was a lot of times she did things for me that I will never even know about. When I didn't deserve it, when I wasn't worthy of it, when she didn't have to, that she would. Because she is my mama. I love you, mama. There's another mother in my life that I want to talk to you about today, too. And that is my beautiful and wonderful wife, Dacia. Dacia is the most patient and amazing mother that I have ever seen. Now, my mama could have a temper, and she kept me in line. My mama was not afraid to take a fly swatter, a hickory, even a piece of firewood once to whip me. Now, she, before you gasp in horror, she was a wonderful mama, and she did those things to try to teach me in my hard-headedness that I was doing the wrong thing. And I deserved it just about every time. Actually, I deserved it more than what I got, which is saying something. And the time she whipped me with firewood, I was big. And I deserved it then, too. Dacia is, my wife, is an amazing and wonderful mom to our two children. We are a blended family. Dacia brings to our family her and her daughter, Petra, who I call my daughter because it's easier than saying stepdaughter, and because I love her very much. And I love her with all of my heart, and I claim her. And I brought me into the marriage, and then later I received custody of my oldest son, and so he's been with us for several years. And from the very beginning, Dacia has been supportive of me getting custody of not just Johnny, but my other sons. And she has said from the very beginning that they are her sons too, and that she loves them as if they were her own. Now, that is a phrase that you hear a lot. But the difference is my wife backs it up. She backs it up with a vengeance, meaning that it is ironclad. She meant it the day she said it, and she has proved it time and time and time and time again. She has been so great with my son. She has stepped in to be the mother that he needs to have. Johnny's relationship with his biological mother is not very good, which can sometimes happen when you have blended families. You know, you run into all sorts of situations. That's why God intended for men and women to get married once, to have a family and raise their children. And that doesn't mean we have to do that, and you know, in the sense that we're going to burn if we don't. It doesn't make us evil people if we make a mistake, but there are consequences for our mistakes. And those consequences include families that can get broken. You see, Johnny doesn't understand Dacia sometimes because he's never had a mother in his formative years who treated him the way that she does. He can't get his mind around being loved so unconditionally. He sometimes can't figure out how this person who has not known him all his life, who knows everything that he's done, good and bad, who doesn't have to, yet does love him. My wife's love as a mother is amazing. She pours her love on her daughter, Petra, in the best possible way. And those children and any child that comes into our house is going to be so fortunate and so blessed to have a mother like my wife. There is a verse, or rather a set of verses, that I would like to take a second to read that describes my wife and talks about her in a way that I cannot. And I find it so awesome that God found the words that I couldn't. And it's in Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 10. This is my wife. My wife, Dacia, because I'm going to substitute that anytime it says a wife. Because I'm not talking about just any wife. I'm talking about my wife. That's what this verse, that's who these verses are written about. I know that's arrogant, and I apologize, but it's still true. My wife, Dacia, of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. Now, all that means that she cares of her family. She provides for them and others. She is wise about her business. In verse 17, she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. My wife is a teacher who leads other teachers, not just by example, but literally leads them and provides leadership where they need it. She is an amazing example of what it means to be a teacher. She could be an administrator. They want her to be, but she refuses. She refuses because she doesn't want to give up her children, doesn't want to give up working with them, because that is one of the things that gives her the greatest fulfillment. Because the reality is, even though she has two children at home, she has 67 at school that she teaches and looks after as best she can. And for some of those children, my wife Dacia is the only mother they get to have for an hour and 50 minutes a day. And they are very lucky to have her. Going back to Proverbs, skipping up to verse 21. When it snows, no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. She makes linen garments in 24, verse 24, and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. But here in these last few verses, this is the most important. I want you to listen to this, because this is my wife. My wife, Dacia, is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. My wife, Dacia, speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. My wife, Dacia, watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but my wife, Dacia, surpasses them all. I love you, Dacia, very, very much. There's one other mother that I can't help but talk about today. And I can't even imagine what this mother had to go through. You see, her son was humiliated and mocked and beaten some more, and beaten some more, forced to carry timbers at least a mile, maybe two, up to the top of a hill where he was nailed to them. And all she could do was watch. This was a mother who loved her son so very much. When she was told that he was going to be born, in the book of Luke, she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. Little did she know what she was going to face. And little did she know then what she would have to suffer through. You see, Mary, the mother of Jesus, knows what it's like to lose a child, because she saw her son nailed to a cross, hoisted up in front of her. And this is how powerful an impact that she had. While Jesus Christ was on the cross, bearing your sins and mine, the entire weight of not just the world, but all generations and all their sin on him, to bear that burden for all of us. In John chapter 19, verse 26, we're told that when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, and that's the book's writer, John, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your new son, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Because you see, Jesus was worried that there was no one to take care of his mama after he was gone. There he is on the cross, a whole world's worth of sin, generation after generation after generation of sin that he's having to bear the price for. And the first person that he thinks about, this is his mama. We infer from this verse that at the time that his father, Joseph, is already passed away. But Jesus' thoughts were for his mama. I just want to say once again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Be good to your mother. Say something good to her. Thank her. I'm your host, John A. Geffey, for FMG Live.